I'm just at a complete loss. I haven't had an orgasm the entire time we've been together, 8 years.
Yikes.
He always wants, you imagine a man in this circumstance? He always wants blowjobs, but I'm over here like, what the fuck? Can I at least get wet or get off for once? I'm at such a loss because I love this person. They're literally my best friend and have had my back more than anyone else in my entire life. Please, any advice or recommendations is greatly appreciated. Hello, and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. We have a pretty fun list of topics to cover today, including a man who becomes jealous of his wife after she sends him professional photos, a man who feels insecure after using a dildo on his wife, and some discussion about the proper amount of oral sex to give to a woman. I'm Keith, my co-host is Mike, and Mike, you have anything new to report in your world?
I mean, I'm just getting over a week and a half long cold. It's I thought was COVID, but I thought if anything's going to be COVID, this is going to be it. But I've done two tests and I did not. I've never had COVID before, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I mean, you had your first cavity this year and you could have finally broken
the I don't have
COVID cherry too.
They just like smeared some junk on my teeth to make sure I don't get any cavities.
Why would they need to do that if you've never had one?
Like a little bit of receding gum line in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, that's a thing. Like that's a negative.
Sure. All right. Fair enough. I think I have a new online dating pet peeve that I wanted to talk to you about, which is a lot of dating apps have like various prompts where you can respond. And one of them is something about where would you like to travel? And also, I often ask as an opener, if there isn't a prompt for travel, I'll say, where's someplace unusual you would like to travel?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing something a little bit clever here. It's not thinly veiled, but they'll normally say like, oh, I'd like to go to place XYZ. And then they'll say, what about you? And normally I can say I've been to place XYZ.
Right.
And also that I can flex that I've, you know, been to 93 countries. And it's a little tricky because it can seem like I'm obviously doing that. So I have some various techniques to try to veil it a little bit. But in any case, one thing that I see a ton is people will say that they would really like to go to the Maldives. And
has anybody, by the way, has anybody ever like speed run going to that many countries? Like you can imagine somebody like speed running 100 countries and like, I'm not sure how fast you could do it.
Yeah. Like Phineas Fogg and around the world in 80 days.
Anyway, just made me think of that. I was thinking about like an ultra wealthy person would just be like, oh, well I can just fly my private jet around the world repeatedly. And then I was thinking, oh, you could get that done sort of quick. It would still take like realistically probably half a year to do that. Right.
Yeah, I think there's some places that have particularly onerous visa restrictions.
Right.
So there's some places you can't go, like Americans can't go to North Korea, for example.
Right.
But you can, if you're a billionaire, you can buy passports to other countries, and then in which case you can go to
I wasn't thinking of getting like to some preposterously high number. I was just thinking of getting like 100. Like what that would take.
Yes. In that case, I'm sure you could speed run it. I did see that somebody just made it to all 195 UN countries. And I think she was like 20 or something, and she was the youngest to ever do it. So
must have had access to wealth.
Yeah. I don't remember what the details there are.
Sure. Okay. So the Maldives.
So Maldives. What do you know about the Maldives?
Not much.
Okay. So the thing that most people know is that they have these hotels with these long wooden boardwalks that go out, and the hotel rooms are sort of hovering over the ocean.
Okay.
Do you have the picture in your mind there?
Sure, sure.
They're like these little bungalows, maybe with thatched roofs. And
Where are or is the Maldives?
They are in the Indian Ocean.
That's what I figured.
East of Africa, and west of India, or maybe south of India. Yeah, I think they're south.
Okay.
Okay. I think that is a almost insanely immature answer to where someplace you would like to travel. Like, it's no different, for example, than Hawaii. It's just like more expensive and there's no culture there. Like, it's just probably nets for capturing money from uber rich people, since it's
okay.
hard to get to. And, you know, when you're chatting with somebody in an online dating app context, you should be trying to virtue signal that you're not like basic and boring and vapid and have interests that are a little bit more interesting than just having good Instagram photo opportunities. And so when people say the Maldives in response to like where someplace unusual you would like to travel, like, I'm increasingly responding, what is it about the Maldives that you prefer to Hawaii? And then I often get unmatched, and I imagine it in my mind that they're embarrassed. And so they're unmatching because they can like see the error in their response. But like, what's actually going on is they just think I'm an asshole and they don't want to deal with me.
Well, maybe they think you're anti-Maldives.
I would like to go to the Maldives too, but I just don't think that it's like cost effective. I'll go there at some point because I want to say that I've been to that country, but it's not like super high on my list of interesting places to go because I think it'll be a good experience. I think it would be little different than an expensive spa weekend in Napa.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. What you're saying is it's from your perspective, it's sort of an, low socioeconomic country that just has this tourist thing that everybody goes and does.
Right. Like, how is it different than going to, you know, Grand Cayman or something? And the answer is it's not. It's just more expensive and harder to get to. And people have probably seen Instagram or TikTok content that makes it seem cool. And they don't have an interesting answer, like saying Turkmenistan or something, because I'm interested in whatever.
Well, I mean, people basically just consume sort of the modern equivalent of like travel brochures. And they go, oh, well, I want to do... I mean, that's what Instagram is, right?
Yeah, but... This is like a reliably frustrating experience I have with online dating. Like, why don't people try to virtue signal that they're interesting? Is it just they don't need to? Like, they're pretty women. And so, in their experience, men are just going to pursue them anyway. And so, there's just no need to even try to be interesting, even if they were.
Why do you think they don't?
I think it's something like what I just described. There's just no incentive for them to exert any effort until they've established in their mind that I'm worth pursuing. But at that point, when, you know, they're just responding to my opener, they're just sort of like rotely responding because they are, you know, they have like 100 matches and they don't have time.
I just think that people filter the kind of, they just don't spend a lot of time kind of thinking deeply about this kind of topic, right? They just have some basic, they basically just take in whatever is on social media and kind of regurgitate it. And I think that's becoming more and more common, particularly among a certain age range.
We have this monoculture developing.
Yes. So it's just, and in terms of why they would put that on a dating profile, I see what your point is, that they kind of bucket themselves as a person with very ordinary tastes or very standard
basic
tastes and interests.
I think is the millennial word.
Yeah. I'm not sure there's really a penalty for doing that for an attractive young woman. And there's sort of a plus in that then it's like being in the sorority. You think the same thing that all the sorority girls think, right?
You know.
So you're actually you're in like a clique. I mean, yeah, like that. That's I have this. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast or not, but I have this theory that stop me if I have. I have this theory that a lot of cultural trends ultimately descend from sort of the most attractive, call it 1 to 5% of girls in high school.
Okay.
And the reason why is that the most attractive 1% to 5% of girls in high school are the most attractive people on the planet. Just physical attractiveness. They have the, in some ways, they, yeah, I mean, they're like richer than billionaires on some level, right? I mean, like they have this incredibly valuable asset. Now, they then can drive culture. So for example, if they were to get together in a certain high school and all start wearing a certain thing or adopting a certain behavior, I actually think it's pretty likely that that behavior or clothing would get adopted kind of throughout that high school and maybe would jump into the wider culture because of them doing that. And I think that social media operates as kind of a
amplifier.
Yeah, like a force multiplier of that. Now you have the most attractive whatever percent of girls on TikTok, on Instagram, or whatever, and they simply decide what our culture values. So, for example, so like examples of this are that the reason like people talk about how the cultural prominence of kind of pop music was much higher, and this is true in my view, say in the 19s, from the Beatles until like maybe the early 2000s, something. There's some arc there. And it's just become, it's still prominent. It's just become a lot less culturally prominent. And I think this has a lot to do with that.
Can you expand on that point?
Sure. If you went to a rock and roll concert in the 1980s, a Van Halen concert, or just watch a footage of it, the people in the front of the concert hall are attractive teenage girls, right? So obviously
Isn't that the same at Taylor Swift's concert this summer?
It's not exactly the same.
I don't understand the point you're making here then.
The point I'm making is that, well, I mean, for Taylor Swift, sure. But let's say you take anybody other than Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not the same. The point I'm making is that the rise and fall of popular music of certain kinds, I think, is driven by this small set of attractive girls and what they do. And they sort of like have a groupthink where they collectively decide that something is compelling and do it together.
Okay. I just think pop music is a strange choice there. I think pop music is still a thing.
It's not in the same way. I think that the amount of cultural prominence that pop music has is a shadow of what it once was.
Do you think it's more distributed across more artists, or that people are listening to music less?
I think that you have a few who are able to play the game really well, like Taylor Swift, and people are listening. It's not that they're listening less, it's just they don't care as much. And this has to do with the fact that the attractive girls have moved on. Instead of, you know, dissecting the lyrics of such and such song or wearing shirts from such and such band, going to such and such concerts, they're now on Instagram sharing photos.
Right.
Like wherever the attractive girls go, that's where culture goes.
Huh. Okay. I need to sit with that a bit and think about it. That might be right.
Anyway, it's a theory.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to talk about something else, which is, back to this like Maldives thing. I would love it if, and I've alluded to this on like some of our more recent episodes, I would love it if I had hundreds of matches that I could apply various filters to.
Sure.
And only agree to meet the ones that I think seem compelling. But the problem I have is that, you know, I swipe 100 times, I get 2 matches, and the conversations with those people are often disappointing. But I don't have like a line of men going around the block like these women do, right? So like women can apply whatever filter they want and still have, you know, a whole slew of men that they could go out with. But for me, it's always sort of frustrating. It's like, oh, I got a match here. Like, I think this person's pretty. There was something in their profile that I thought was interesting. And then if they say something disappointing, I have to sort of now decide like, oh, I think this is likely to go badly. Do I, you know, swallow my pride and potentially sacrifice some dignity and agree to meet anyway and hope for the best? Or do I just sit around and be a spinster the rest of my life? Like, I don't really have the opportunity to meet the caliber of people I would like to. I'm not attractive enough myself.
Maybe. I mean, it's the woman who gets to be selective, right?
Yeah.
I mean, normally, I mean, I think that like dating applications just match the real world in that normally men will basically pursue almost anybody, maybe actually anybody. And women then have to operate as the filter there. And so you're basically saying that it frustrates you that you don't get to be the filter. But that's just like your gender role.
Yeah, well, there's an asymmetry. Like, I don't know how attractive I am. But let's just say for the sake of argument, I'm an 80th percentile man.
Okay.
For me, it's hard to find 80th percentile women. But for an 80th percentile woman, she can like easily find 95th percentile men because men are just much less selective, at least initially.
Well, I mean, are you talking about attractiveness in terms of the percentile you're applying to the
woman? It doesn't matter what your criteria are for evaluating attractiveness.
Okay.
I think I'm like X percentile attractive and X plus 10 percentile in other categories. But
sure, I understand.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I mean, all of the women want to date somebody that they perceive as higher status than them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it makes sense that you would be getting matches from women that are
lower
than you more often.
Right.
But the complicated thing there is that at least what women should be doing is not just indexing on attractiveness for the man, which is something that I think makes dating apps complicated for a woman. Right. I mean, she's supposed to be indexing on like how good of a partner you would be and status and things like
that.
Yeah,
I think I should do fine however they're indexing. I think I'm physically attractive enough, and I think that I'm like as a person attractive enough. But
so the net of this is just that you feel like if you set a certain filter, you just get a trickle of people above that filter.
Yeah, a trickle or a dried up stream bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe your ELO score on whatever platform you're using has gotten too low for some reason.
Yeah, maybe. It might be that dating apps aren't great for men of a certain percentile.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, what I'm inclined to say is that it's just a manifestation of this argument that people make that all the women are basically circling around the same tiny, tiny group of men.
Yeah.
There's a top 2%, top 5%, whatever, man.
Yeah, and all the likes get clustered there.
Yeah, and there is data to suggest this is true. There's actually a ton of data. We've gone through it on the podcast
before,
suggesting that women kind of do that. And so, if you fall out of that range, then it's harder. And I mean, there's an equivalent female complaint, which is that, hey, there are no guys that'll talk to me. And it's kind of it's the flip side of this coin, right? Is that women are all trying to go up status, but then they also can't find anybody, right? Because the other side of this coin is that the woman that is two notches below your filter, you won't respond to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So it's just a tragedy.
I mean, if you're restricting yourself to only men that have a bazillion options, then you're probably going to be disappointed in that man.
Right. And I think the argument that's made is that this reality happens up and down the quality level. And so basically dating apps just make everybody sad.
Yeah. All right. On that uplifting note, let's move on. This person says, my sex life was ruined because I did boudoir pics. She spelled boudoir, B-O-D-U-I-R-E, which is not even really close.
Boudoir, boudoir.
It's B-O-U-D-O-I-R, right?
That's right.
Boudoir, yeah.
There might be an E on the end.
Oh, maybe.
I think it's masculine. I think it's not an E.
You're the French expert here. Yeah. All right. This is a 29-year-old female. We've been together for 5 years. I wanted to do something for his birthday and do some boudoir photos. They came out really good, and it was a confidence boast. Made it into a calendar, pick for his wallet, and just something him and I can look through. Also thought it would be a crazy sex boaster. I think she means booster. Turns out it killed our sex life because he's upset another man saw me like that. The photographer was literally gay, and I had no sexual attraction of him, but he just won't understand this. Thoughts? Okay, well, my first thought is go graduate high school. Let me get your GED. Second thought is, okay, I have heard this before. Like, somebody will have a boyfriend who is like jealous of the photographer that took a picture of them in, say, a bikini, or in this case, I guess, lingerie or something. And I can't imagine like the worldview or theory of mind of such a man. Like, if you have a hot girlfriend, it just is the case that men are looking at her all the time. And you should be kind of, you should try to be secure about that. You should be self-impressed by that. And this notion of being, maybe they're threatened. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, he's not mad at, I don't know, is he mad at the guy? I think he's mad at his, I don't know if it's wife or girlfriend or whatever, for revealing the goods, right?
Oh, I see.
So she should have been willing.
She should wear a hijab or a burqa at all times.
No, but she should, you know, she should realize that that's going to happen and play defense. And she didn't sufficiently play defense, and now his ego is bruised because of that. That makes sense to me. I mean,
yeah.
At least but theoretically.
It doesn't, because, yeah, like, women like to express their beauty in the way they like present. This is common and well known. And reserving that for yourself seems sort of misguided or confused.
Sure. Wasn't there something you said to me recently about how, like, the differentiation between women is more in their style choices and stuff like that than...
Yeah, nails and shoes and...
Right.
Fitting into, like, the right level of... Okay, what's the word here? I was going to say a word that, like, would definitely get people upset, like slightiness. Like, you know, like, some groups of friends would all wear those, like, midriff bearing, like, tube tops that, you know, a lot of women are wearing these days. And then, like, I think other cliques would, if, like, somebody showed up with, like, a midriff bearing tube top, it would be sort of scandalous amongst the friend group. So there's these various, like, norms and memes that, like, become normalized amidst groups, and fitting into that is pretty important.
And it's all normalized, like I said, by the top 5% attractiveness girls, women.
Well, yeah, or whoever the most attractive is in a particular friend group.
Sure, sure. Well, it just comes downstream, in my view, from some sort of goddess level attractiveness woman or something. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But okay, so by that logic, her taking her clothes off, well, I guess she's showing her style choices to this photographer I mean, she's still got something on, right? I don't actually know what a boudoir shoot entails.
No. Boudoir photo shoots fall under the same category as, like, engagement photo shoots, which is, okay, I just find them totally intolerable. And, like, how can you not be embarrassed by hiring a professional photographer to take Instagram photos for you? Like, that is, at least with boudoir photos, they're semi-private, but a lot of times people will post them on Instagram as well.
Oh, so they can't be nude then. Oh, okay. I'm looking at some examples online.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just, they're semi-nude. I mean, they're, I guess, equivalent to the woman wearing a bathing suit.
They're meant to be tasteful or something. But really, it's just an excuse to show off your airbrushed body.
A dude in silk boxers. That's not...
Yeah, you like that?
Right. Not particularly, no. Okay. I understand what's so there are some style choices, but okay. I mean, look, he's upset because
she revealed her body.
Yeah. She revealed the goods, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I wonder, does he get upset if she goes to the gynecologist?
Yeah. I mean, I think I could see the distinction here, but he might. I mean, if he's being consistent, he probably should.
Right. So it's sort of tricky to know when to be upset and when not to. Your level of upsetness makes more sense to me. You would just be irritated that a person chose to do this in the first place.
Yes. Yeah. It would be like, why do you think this is necessary to do? And then they would,
where
of course,
do you draw
say,
the
like,
line?
Oh, I did this for you. I thought it would be a sex poster.
Poster, right.
Yeah. And then I would just be like, I can't really on board the sort of like insecurity combined with narcissism implied by your feeling compelled to do this. It just bothers me.
Would you have an issue with someone having wedding photos?
Have we not talked about this?
No.
If I get married, I will strongly insist to my partner that we tell everybody that they are not allowed to bring cameras to.
Why?
Because I just... I don't want the wedding to be about getting photos to show off to other people. And I think that, like, for many women, like, they would never admit it to themselves, but that's actually what's going on, is like getting their, like, deciding on the flowers and the hair and makeup and the dress and the nails and all of this stuff is all to collect like 12 photos that they think will like maximally impress whoever they're trying to impress.
Okay.
I want my wedding to be about like spending a good time with like friends and family and being like present in the moment. And it's tricky. Like, I kind of like the idea of like hiring a photographer and telling the photographer, like telling all the guests, like, look, just put your cell phones in this Faraday cage and we'll give them back to you at the end of the wedding.
Right.
And then I'll hire a photographer, and anybody who wants photos with their family, cause they're all dressed up, you know, it's like a thing. And then, you know, he's running around taking candid photos as well. Maybe I need to hire two photographers to do this or whatever. I just think that's like a better setup.
Oh, so you would hire a photographer.
I think I would prefer to have no pictures, but I think I think that's a little bit unfair to the guests.
I see.
Imposing that on my guests.
Is there any non sort of negative or pejorative rationale you can think of for people having photos? Like, you're basically, the explanation you have is people want to show off or, yeah, like keep up with the Joneses or something.
Well, I think that having photos to like celebrate an occasion is fine. But when the occasion is just about collecting the photos, which a lot of weddings really turn into,
okay,
that it crosses some line for me.
I see.
But I recognize that like my feelings on this are very, very, very counterculture, and almost everybody would disagree with me, especially would-be partners.
I mean, I think sort of extremely counterculture, because so much of what people do, particularly I think women now do, is to post things on social media.
I mean, even when I see pictures of weddings now, they'll be like, you know, the dancing photos, right? And there'll be this like ring of fucking people around the bride at all times, all with their like cell phones trained on her. And it's just like, this is stupid. Like, we're not celebrating here. We're just collecting photos. And that just doesn't seem like the point of a wedding. And yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that's what I think about weddings.
Yeah, it's a strong cultural commentary there. Mm-hmm. It makes sense to me. You've also told me before that you think that, tell me if I'm getting this wrong, that there are people who are somewhat common for people. The only reason they go do something is so they can take an Instagram picture of it.
Yeah. I, you know, do a lot of international travel, and when I'm lonely, I will, go to a hostel or sometimes stay at a hostel, get a private room. Of course, I don't want to be spending a night with in the male dormitory with like five Germans getting back from a rave at 4 a.m. But yeah, you'll
have you ever stayed in the male dorm with the guys coming back from a rave? Do you actually know that's what happens? Or
Yeah, in my 20s, I would stay in the group rooms in hostels, and like you can't sleep at all, and it's just not
okay.
And getting a private room is a little bit more expensive, but it's still much, much, much cheaper than a hotel. So, and then the advantage of a hostel is like everyone there is sort of chatty, and it's usually a good resource for figuring out what to do in the area.
Right. Right.
Anyway, you'll hear people talking about where they're going to go the next day, and people will be like, "Oh, you can go here. I got this great photo." And then they'll like show each other the photo, and they'll be like, "Oh, where was that?" And like the whole thing is about collecting the frickin' Instagram shot, and or whatever. Maybe Instagram is dated now, the TikTok or Reel or wherever people are posting.
Sure, sure. But this basic idea that they're looking, the thing they're actually looking for is something they can show off to other people and make them, I guess, make them jealous.
I'm not quite sure what the emotionality around that is. I mean, and like I'm being a little bit hypocritical here. I mean, you've seen my Instagram. It's just packed with travel photos.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like I'm balancing something better than what I imagine other people are doing. Right. It would be a fair critique of my position here to say like, well, what am I doing?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's completely foreign. Like that wouldn't even occur to me. I remember being in Hawaii and going down a trail. I was in Maui going down a trail. I'm sure it was a fairly normal, like a well-known spot. I don't remember the name. And yeah. We got down the trail. It was sort of up on a mountain. And there was this lady there setting up this really complicated pose with her two dogs. She had two like white sort of little poodle kind of dogs. And she had like tripods and all this kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. she was really carefully curating these pictures she was going to take. And I just thought that was very odd.
Yeah. I mean, for some content creators, it's a career. And in that case, bravo. I had an ex-girlfriend who worked in marketing and they hired some content creators, and she told me about watching her, and she would like in the morning, she would like wake up and go down to the pool, and she would have like three different bikinis, and she had this like fancy sort of tripod setup, and she would, you know, for like 45 minutes, like go and like set up her poses and like get a bunch of different photos. And she was like, this woman is like actually a pro. Like what she's doing here is pretty impressive. But that woman was actually a pro, and they were paying her to generate such content. And so in that case, fine, go get it. Go get it, girl. But like for most people, that's not what's going on. It's like some sort of like pathetic attempt to like pretend that they're that. And it's, I don't know. I find it irritating.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Sure. This person says, I fucked around and found out advice needed. My wife has never been able to come from PIV only sex with me. That's penis and vagina. I have a rather straight and not exactly super girthy member. Uh-oh. She had expressed that she wanted to try a big dildo recently, so I got a couple, one of them being a really curved one. Anyway, this curved dildo is longer and thicker than my penis and has a really aggressive upward curve. I used this on her and she came for the first time ever from purely PIV in literally about 1 minute only. This actually has destroyed my confidence now, as I've had sex with her for hours before at a time, and she still can't get off this way. I feel inadequate now and like we're not sexually compatible. She expressed she doesn't feel this way and she enjoys sex with me and that I can even throw the dildo out if I want. But I saw how it made her feel and I literally cannot make her come that way with my dick. And I just can't get over it now, imagining someone else with a similar shaped dick as that dildo
right.
can get her off like that. What should I do about this? I thought this was interesting. I mean, in some ways, it's good that most women aren't promiscuous. So by the time that most women get married, they've had like maybe a handful of sexual partners, but it's likely or probable that they haven't had someone that like really scratches their sexual itch in a way that like maybe this dildo can. And for men, it doesn't matter. Like men can orgasm with basically any woman. But if there is like material differences in a woman's ability to come based on like penis size, which there may or may not be, but this guy seems to think there is. I mean, what is a woman in the, who, you know, what is the promiscuous woman that slept with 20 men and three of them have like, you know, the right key to unlock, you know, her ability to come from PIV? Like, wouldn't she reasonably be sort of like, well, all this other sex is a little bit underwhelming?
Yeah, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's possible that it was just the novelty of the situation. It doesn't have to be that it like had some certain shape that did
that. I agree, but for the sake of this conversation, let's assume.
Sure, let's imagine that there's some shape that this guy can't accomplish for anatomical reasons that is kind of a magical shape. Yeah, that's a difficult situation because, I mean, she'll say, I think that she's even being a little disingenuous to say, look, I don't care, we can throw it away. But,
well, she might. I mean, for one, it's nice that she's saying that, whether she believes it or not. It's sort of a good sign that she's being a good sport about it.
And I bet she believes it. I'm not worried about her believing it at the time she says it. I'm just worried about it being a realistic thing.
Yeah. Hanging out the back of her mind.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's, oh, I know you believe it. I know you think you believe this or whatever.
Yeah.
that I'm sure. Or I'd have no reason to doubt her statement there. But yeah, I mean, I just think that he has sort of a problem there.
The comments here are predictable. Somebody says, first, toys are teammates, not enemies. You got her a toy. You gave her a PIV orgasm with it. You said in another comment how loving she was after, so it sounds like she really enjoyed it. You need to emphasize to yourself that you gave her immense pleasure. I just don't think that's the right...
I think there's some... Yeah.
His initial read is the right one, which is like, uh-oh, this is... I've opened Pandora's box here. I wish I didn't know this.
I think that's a risk, and I also think it's going to play on him because I appreciate the comment that person made. I think it misunderstands something about like male needs, male desires, male something. I think the guys get something out of it being them that did it.
Right.
And it does make a difference. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a reason why some huge percentage of women fake orgasms during PIV sex. It's because guys really like it.
Right.
And introducing the toy, it's like, yeah, that's true. You know, that's all very true that you did all that stuff. It's just that it would be better if the guy's penis did it. He would enjoy it more. Like, I mean, you just think you have to be honest about that.
Right.
Like if his penis was shaped that way, whatever that shape is, the bad dragon or whatever, I'm not sure what the thing is that they used, then he would enjoy that. Yeah.
I mean, just to, you know, put a finer point on this. Imagine you're a 30-year-old woman and you married your high school sweetheart. You've only had sex with him. And the sex is fine. You know, you feel bonded to him. It's nice. And then you have this experience when you're 30 with this like specially shaped dildo. And you're like, whoa, I didn't even know it was possible to have orgasms like this. This is kind of cool. Like, she would be totally reasonable to like wonder what sex with someone else would be like. And for that to like, that seed is now planted in a way that like, I think is unlikely to be positive for the man going forward. And at best, it'll be neutral.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's certainly possible that wouldn't matter, that she would say, you know, oh, well, there's this toy that can do this. Oh, well.
Yeah, we can use it together or something.
Mostly I want to be with my partner. But I think your point is that could something arise in their relationship where she would start to wonder about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a negative. It's a mild negative that now exists.
Yeah.
That could be. But I actually think that the guy's sort of... I think the thing in the guy's head is probably more important in terms of like if I had to sort of do the area under the curve of the...
Yeah, he needs therapy more problem. Than her at this point.
Right. Right, because he's going to...
Obsess.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, there's this thing that I'm not getting to see. There's this thing that if my body were different, He's going to be thinking, he's going to be like searching Google at 2 a.m. for surgeries to make his penis have that shape. Put it that way.
Yeah.
Or he might. He might. That's much more likely than her sitting there Googling, like, how do I get a guy that has this shape? Yeah.
Are upward curves in penises typical?
I think it's not atypical. I mean, there's a variety of.
Well, most are probably typical. Straight, and then some bend sure. left, some bend right, some bend down, and some bend up. But in the main, I think they're kind of straight.
Sure. Let's see. 1 in 5. This is an Australian study. 1 in 5 males report a curve in their penis. Most did not find it to cause any problem. I'm trying to see if upward curve is more likely than others. I'm not sure. That I'm not getting quickly.
Can't you sort of simulate? Can't you change the angle of your penis? You can adjust your angle of penetration.
Probably, but I think you're going to have difficulty getting it to curve upward.
Yeah, you really want that thing that you can do with your digits, which is sort of bending at the end to get...
Right, it's not going to maintain its full erection if you mess with it too much.
The G-spot or the underside of the clit or whatever you want to call it back there.
So a third of men with penile curvature reported it's more than 30 degrees.
Come on. No, it's not.
It says a third of the ones that had curvature.
Oh, not a third of men. So a third of 20% men that have it.
That would be 5%, though. So that's pretty substantial.
20% of men have a curved penis, and 33% of them say it's 30 yes. degrees or more.
According to this data, yeah.
That's, what, 6 plus percent? That's... Mm-hmm. That's a big curve. I'm not even sure I've noticed that in porn, looking at penises.
That's true. I'm finding another study that suggests it could be less than 1%.
Okay.
So I don't
that
know.
That seems more in line.
It's going to depend on, what you define as a curve also, right? And it could, ultimately, this could come down to size too.
I think it's well litigated where you measure penis length from. It's from the top of your shaft, from your pubic bone to the tip.
That's right. That's right.
So I don't know if there's a similar thing for measuring curvature.
Oh, yeah. It just would be how much curvature they have, right?
You take the leftmost point and the rightmost point.
I'm not seeing any sort of sophisticated analyses online, but sure.
Get a protractor. All right, let's move on. This person asks, is going down on women really that bad? What's wrong with us? Every time I ask guys about it, they say, it's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you. I've told men that I want to suck their dicks so often, it's ridiculous. Why do we never get to hear the same? The conversation seems to go the same way each time with each partner. It's always some variation of, I forgot to. I asked the last man about it, and he said he gets sore tired. When I suggested doing it as foreplay for a minute, he was genuinely shocked, like I had revealed some great epiphany for him, and said, I forgot that I can do that. This was after I had his dick in my mouth about 6 times that weekend, all of them foreplay for something else. I'm not too proud to say I burst into tears after that call. My most recent relationship was 5 years long, and in that time, I got half-heartedly eaten out maybe 10 times. I deep-throated that man several times a weekend, but he, quote, always forgot. It's not personal. I just forget. I honestly don't believe that y'all are forgetting this much. I'm clean. I taste nice. I've tested and also gotten good reviews from other women. I'm at a loss here. Men are always very nice about it and then seem to be surprised when I don't want them to eat me out after they basically just told me it's a chore they'll put up with. Is it so bad that I want to save it for someone who will be enthusiastic about it? Is this something I'll have to get used to? Okay. So, first of all, how can she know she tastes nice? She said she tested. Is there some like pH test you can get?
Well, I mean, then she said she tested with other women.
She did. So presumably she's bisexual and she's asked, but
I was sort of imagining.
Can you really trust asking someone's opinion on that?
I was imagining like a more platonic testing, like women just like, being like, hey, can you smell this? Or
right.
Put it on their finger or whatever, and the other one smells and tastes it and tells them what they think. I don't know.
Right.
Just it doesn't like seem like
we're
a very
with
like
the guys, we always pull our pants down and compare cocks and
right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it seems unlikely that happened. But that's what it's she made it sound like that's what happened, which is
well.
Odd.
And how would a woman know what? How would a straight woman know what a quote unquote normal pussy tastes like?
Well, she knows what herself tastes and smells like, I guess.
I wonder if I was a woman, if I would know. Like, as you know, I've never tasted my own semen.
You've smelled it.
I have smelled it. That's true.
I think it's very, 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 very common for women, at least during sex, to wind up with a man's penis in their mouth after it's been in their vagina. So yes, I think it's, that's not sort of hard.
Yeah, but they're not down there with their fingers as a dipstick tasting generally, or maybe they are.
I don't think they are typically, but it wouldn't be totally impossible to imagine that happening. Sure.
No, I think it would be more common than a man tasting his own semen, for example.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yes, I think that's right. Yes.
Well, anyway, I reject that she can be positive that she tastes nice. She may. But I think it's sort of a yellow flag that, like, every man she's ever been with is not enthusiastic about going down on her.
Right, right.
Like, most men aren't like that. Most men, especially early on in sexual relationships, are quite enthusiastic to go down.
Right. I mean, there's another piece here, which is that, what did she say at the beginning? Like, I'm always asking to suck guys' dicks or something.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, so the thing about that is that's kind of an initiation of sex that a guy will appreciate. Mm-hmm. However, if a man, I'm not sure if this is 100% true, but I think that in general, culturally, the expectation would be that if a guy tried to initiate sex by offering oral to a woman, it would not have this. It wouldn't work the same. Like,
what
he might get rejected.
What do you think the general order is for a woman giving oral sex to a man giving oral sex to a woman, and PIV? Like, what do you think the standard itinerary is?
Probably woman oral sex on man oral sex on woman, PIV.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that.
I think that's probably right.
Right. So you have this thing that she causes to get initiated at the beginning of the act, mm-hmm. right? And she's complaining that this thing that would be sort of in the middle isn't happening. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think part of it can just be sort of sequencing and the fact that, and like, fear of rejection on the guy's part. Like, if a guy thought that that was a woman knows that this is a good way to initiate sex with a man, offering to suck his cock.
Yeah.
If that was known that that would initiate sex with a woman, then probably guys would, then that would happen all the time. But you see, it isn't. Right. So it sort of creates an asymmetry there where this is only something that can happen once you're already kind of underway. And so then it's not, put it the other way. If putting his penis in her mouth was not a way to initiate, maybe she wouldn't do it. Although I think she probably would. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, all right, a few things here. The first is, I think there are a large set of men who are like not super enthusiastic about going down on women. I think this is particularly mm-hmm. true with non-American men. And if you get to a point in a relationship where you've had sex maybe 10 times and he's only gone down on you once or twice, you can assume that he's one of these people that's not really enthusiastic about it. And unless you like sort of nip that in the bud right then and there, you're going to end up in a situation where you just basically never does. And so, yeah, I don't know if that's what happened here. Like, it could be that she didn't speak up enough or sort of guide him in that direction enough early on in these relationships. And then it just sort of became the pattern.
Right.
Or there could be something wrong where men are intentionally avoiding it. but I don't think it's just, I don't think the premise of her post, which is going down on women really that bad? What's wrong with us? Like, I do go down on women and I love it. And I don't think her experience that like no one wants to go down on her is normal. So I'm trying to understand what's going on here.
Well, it must be somewhat normal because this kind of question comes up a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just saying that, yeah, you don't fit into that trend.
I mean, yeah, maybe I'm just really unusual.
What are some things that would make you reluctant?
Bad hygiene is probably number one.
Which would be just smelling?
I mean, there's various things. I think the most common one is like not having good butt wiping hygiene.
Yikes.
And so, yeah, you just don't want to be anywhere in that area when that's occurred.
Okay.
But, and then... Yeah, I mean, there is some variation in the way that people taste. But I think a lot of that honestly has to do with like how attracted I am to the person. But I'm not sure.
Go on with that. You're saying that the if you're more attracted, then the it's less relevant or it actually is better?
I feel like women are more attracted to taste better. But that can't objectively be true.
Seems
well,
unlikely.
I guess it could. It could be that like physical attractiveness is also related to like some sort of something down there. But that's not right. That's not likely. That's not Occam's razor here.
It's unlikely.
It's likely that they're orthogonal to each other.
Yes. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I think that I just suspect that because these people are telling her that I forget or, you know, it's not right. And I'm not sure. Don't you think someone would tell her like, or is that the kind of thing you would say to somebody if you were avoiding the issue and the issue actually was that it smelled bad or there was a hygiene issue? You'd say, I keep forgetting.
I mean, gosh, revealing that after, I mean, she talks about a 5-year relationship, like revealing in year 4 that you think they have bad hygiene would be like telling a man in year 4 that like you think his penis isn't long enough. Like it would just be so devastating as to be probably relationship ending.
It would be strange, right?
Yes.
It's like why didn't you bring this up earlier?
Right.
It'd be sort of hard to understand. Attacking that.
Well, and it would be embarrassing for the person receiving that news.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know. But to the extent that these guys are telling the truth, then, yeah, I mean, I could imagine it just being, I mean, maybe they're figuring what's the point. Like, let's say that if you're with a woman who doesn't orgasm from it, you mm-hmm. figure whatever, maybe she doesn't care. Maybe she's not doing a good job sort of expressing that it matters to her. I could see a woman concluding the same thing about giving a blow to a guy if he doesn't come from it, right? It's like, well, this is just like a preliminary and now we've kind of gotten past that. And you just want PIV and that's fine. So then like just low communication.
Yeah. Let me read this next topic because sure. It's a little bit related. Okay. This person says, worst sex of my life. My sex life with my partner is the worst I've ever had. I blame myself for trying to, quote, stick it out for the first few years thinking that sex wasn't everything. I know it isn't, but I'm not sure if I can spend the rest of my life having the worst and pretty much now non-existent sex. I'm a hopeless romantic and crave intimacy. I've tried communicating my needs to my partner, but it goes out the window. It's like they're literally just getting themselves off with my body. There's no foreplay. When there is, he will try to get me in the mood for about 20 to 30 seconds, which clearly doesn't do shit. I can't get turned on unless I spend time convincing myself that I want it. It's so unnatural, I'm just at a complete loss. I haven't had an orgasm the entire time we've been together, 8 years.
Yikes.
He always wants... Can you imagine a man in this circumstance? He always wants blowjobs... But I'm over here like, what the fuck? Can I at least get wet or get off for once? I'm at such a loss because I love this person. They're literally my best friend and have had my back more than anyone else in my entire life. Please, any advice or recommendations is greatly appreciated. So I wrote down here, like, talking points, which is like, who to blame? Should she speak up more? And then like, what percentage of sexual relationships are like this? Like, I think women's tendency to be sort of embarrassed and shy and not speaking up might often lead to situations like this where the man is just sort of like taking and taking and taking until like this pattern is established where he is sort of just using her as a vagina host. And, right. You know, now she like how could she even approach like fixing this? Like if he read this thing, he would be so humiliated that he would just break up with her.
I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think? What do you think she should do?
Well, I'm not sure how he would react because he'd probably be surprised. I mean,
yeah, I think he would be surprised. I don't think he knows this is her experience.
Right. There's like facts, not evidence here. Has she been faking, for example? I'm going to guess yes. Right. So then she would have to reveal that. That's deeply problematic, right?
Because
for obvious reasons. So he'll turn it around and blame it on her then?
Yeah. Well, and then also, sorry, let me just say something really quick here, which is if he does know and she knows he knows, why is she still with him anyway? Right? So we almost have to assume that he doesn't know.
Is it too complicated? Again?
If he does know, like if he's just an asshole and using her, then the correct answer, then this conversation's over. She should just break up with him. And like, why didn't she 7 years ago? And then if he doesn't know, then whose fault is it that he doesn't know?
That's right. I mean, ultimately, this probably comes down to her like indexing low on sex as an important element of the relationship. Right.
Right. And now she feels, now she's like sort of gotten to a point where she's fed up. It took 8 years, but now she's finally there.
Yeah. Yeah,
It would take a man 8 days, but it took her 8 years.
I don't know. I don't think that's right, because if you read like the Dead Bedroom subreddit, you'll find guys that...
Oh, for sure. But
like,
she's been having sex with him this whole time, seemingly, and not having an orgasm for 8 years. Like, imagine a guy, you know, having sex 4 days a week, but never orgasming for 8 years. Like, it's just not...
Yeah, that would be
I can't even imagine that.
Right.
How would that even work?
That's actually, I think, never happened. Unless the way that would happen is if the guy had some sort of medical condition
that made orgasm
impossible.
Right. We're like nine standard deviations out here of normal.
Right. He eventually would orgasm just because he wouldn't have for so long. So it would happen. I mean, she also hasn't indicated whether she masturbates. So is it like she actually has had no orgasms for 8 years? Or
who knows?
Well, it matters because maybe she can't orgasm.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, so I don't know.
It may not be his quote-unquote fault. It may be like she's expecting him to solve something in her life that he can't really solve.
Yeah. I mean, setting aside the not orgasming part, it sounds like he's not performing any foreplay and is being sort of lazy in bed generally. But I mean, there's always a chicken and egg problem here. Like his experience might be like, well, you know, the few times early on where I tried, nothing happened. And then slowly, you know, an inch at a time. And now we're at the point where like, I just sort of tap you on the shoulder and you spread your legs and we have sex for 5 minutes and then it's over. But like, it didn't start that way. I think that happens a ton. That's why I put in my like talking points here, like what percentage of sexual relationships are like this? Like, I think lack of communication early sort of might often cascade into these sorts of situations where it's just like not good.
I think it could be more than 50% when you ask what percentage are like this. I think like it's long-term relationships. I think it's really, really common.
Yeah. I think people are embarrassed and they have shame and like aren't good at speaking up for themselves and like don't even really know what they want. They just know they're dissatisfied. You know, it's just.
Right. And the thing the woman needs is a little more complicated. She doesn't care as much. Her sex drive's a little lower and she's just like, whatever, like, and just sort of decides she doesn't care. And so it creates some sort of long-term resentment, but it's not sort of the hot burning resentment that a guy would have quickly.
Right.
Right. So it doesn't, so it can go on and on and on like this for a long period of time. And I think that's not uncommon.
Yeah. And an inch at a time turns into miles over the eons.
Right. Yeah. I think this is all too common failure mode.
Well, and I sort of wonder if that's what was going on with the woman complaining about men not going down on her, is that like she wasn't something early and then a pattern gets established and then it's just, you know, time goes by, 5 years for her.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. Like, and again, if she is asking him to go down on her all the time and he keeps saying like, oh, I forgot, then what does she say then? Like, stop fucking forgetting? Or does she just say like, oh, okay. Like, at some point you have to sort of like be in charge of your own pleasure. And if you're not getting what you need from your partner, tell them and see if they adjust or end it. You can't just hope that they're going to like magically reform and know what you want.
Yeah, I can see this kind of thing sort of perplexing a sex therapist. Like, does he want her to be more assertive? Like, to just mount him, basically?
Yeah.
You know, sort of, I sort of have to think that the way this actually goes is the woman is pretty passive about it. And so it comes up every now and then, but mostly she's sort of seething about it and bothered by it. Maybe sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, for periods of time, she doesn't care, and then it comes up and bothers her. And so there's like a communication style thing here where it's like, you need to be assertive and, actually tell him in a way that he can hear it. You know, like, what are the standard comment, like standard advice of like, have a conversation about it when you're not having sex.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned this before, but all of this stuff, the absolute worst time to talk about it is when you're like naked and aroused, because
sure,
people's feelings are very easily hurt in that state.
That's right.
That's like, right. Oh, you never something, something, something. It's like, that is not going to go well. You need to do it politely and empathetically when everyone's feeling as safe as possible. All right. Yep. That'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. You can send us feedback or questions to ymmvpod@gmail.com. That's ymmvpod@gmail.com. We pay $10 for any and all feedback received. So just let us know what your payment platform of choice is. And you can also send us questions there. If you don't want us to, we'll respond. And if you don't want us to use your question on the air, let us know, and we won't. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on Your Mileage May Vary. Je me vois.